Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
Monday, the 4th of October, and as trade period starts, it's time for another edition of Triple M Footy's news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tom in the studio. And Tommy, welcome back to Melbourne, mate.
It's magnificent being back in Melbourne. See Henry and Tara, and obviously back in the office. Mitch Cleary started with us, which is great, at 7 today. It's good to see people, Rudy. It was absolute privilege being in Western Australia watching the grand final, but I'm very pleased to be back in Melbourne and particularly pleased to be back in the studio. We're not recording off my iPhone 6 this morning, Rudy, over the phone. We're doing it in the studio.
Indeed, but it all sounded crystal clear, Tommy. Let's talk some trades. It's all everyone wants to know about in October. And to kick off, you've got a couple of nuggets on some tall men.
Yeah, Rory Lobb, the Docker, is certainly interested in leaving the Dockers. There's no doubt about that. He's got a year to go on a contract that's worth up to $700,000 a year. He was sort of superseded a bit at the Dockers this year. He's a required player, at least officially, but he's open to a move, I understand. He played 13 games, restricted through ankle and knee issues. I think there is at least one club that will emerge in the next 24 hours that's interested in Lobb. Now, I don't know the identity of that club at the moment, but my point is that he's open to a move, and I think that'll start to materialise over the next day or so. So keep an eye on Rory Lobb. The other interesting one in terms of big men this morning is Laddams from Port Adelaide. I think Sydney is interested in Laddams. So keep an eye on those two, not new names, but situations in the next 24 hours or so.
Very interesting, Tommy. Now, Collingwood today likely to pull off an elaborate pick swap with Gold Coast. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, so the upshot of a potential pick swap with the Gold Coast, which is likely to go through, is likely to see Collingwood get in picks 22, 46 and 58 in exchange for future second and third round picks. Now, in case you're scratching your heads going, well, why would you do that? It would give Collingwood an earlier pick. Currently, they've got 36, 41, 43 and 48, so they'd get in 22 and effectively would eventually allow them to land this trade period Kruger from Geelong, Lipinski, and the big prize points for Nick Dacos. And just for Collingwood supporters, hopefully listening to our podcast this week and today, Nick Dacos, in most pundits, experts' view, is the best player in the draft. So that's what Collingwood's concentrating on. If Collingwood, which they will at the end of this trade period, end up with Nick Dacos, they've effectively got the best player in the draft. Better than Bailey Smith, for example, better than a lot of players that people rate. So, and I rate Smith's a beauty. So, you know, that is exciting for Collingwood fans, and that's what they're concentrating on. But in effect, that would allow the club to get the picks this year, Collingwood this year, to get the picks for Kruger, Lipinski, and obviously the points for Nick Dacos.
Shrewd move by the Pies there. Now, Tommy, you've slated a potential win-win for Richmond and the Dogs.
Yeah, so the Dogs have got pick 17 in the draft. Richmond got reasonably good compensation for Marbior Chole on Friday, an end of second round pick. It gives Richmond five picks now inside, in the second and third rounds of the draft. They don't need all those. They can couple those up and pitch that into the Bulldogs for their pick 17, which would potentially allow Richmond to get ahead in the draft, get up to, say, around pick 17, and the Bulldogs to get the picks they want for Sam Darcy, who is an out-and-out star. And a lot of discussion regarding what the Bulldogs need this trade period. I know there was some discussion on SEN that I found interesting this morning. I think the view is they want a ruckman, and the view is they probably want a defender. They allowed Fritsch, for example, to kick six goals in the grand final, which was too many. But once they get in Sam Darcy, their plans start to really change, don't they? Because it gives you more freedom with Jamara, for example. You could play them both up forward. You could send Jamara in defence. There's a whole bunch of options the Bulldogs will have once they get in Sam Darcy. But I think there's a potential win-win and potential pick swap, which we'll keep an eye on. Pick swap, popular word, Rudy, between the Bulldogs and Richmond this trade period. Having said that, the Bulldogs will have some other suitors for that pick as well, pick 17.
All right, let's move off trades for a little bit, Tommy. Now, vaccinations are a hot topic around Australia at the moment. The state of Victoria made it mandatory for essential workers to have at least one jab by the 15th of October. What is the feeling inside the AFL on this issue?
The Players Association and the AFL certainly aren't worried about this. They think that vaccination now is basically a mere formality amongst all the players. The million-dollar question in footy, and keeping in mind, of course, that almost 100% of players now are at least one dose and will be two dose vax relatively soon. The big question footy for mine is whether any players will object to this. I think the AFL's view, sources there indicate that perhaps a handful will object or be against it. But the AFL's done a lot of education in this space. They're not worried about whether anyone objects or not. And the crux of the issue is, Rudy, they'll have to get vaccinated because it's a workplace. The AFL's always complied with the Victorian government regulations. And if a player doesn't want to get vaxxed, they won't be able to attend their workplace and they won't be able to play. So it's a pretty simple solution. The AFL's done a lot of education in this space. There's no examples at the moment of any players that don't want to get vaxxed at the moment. But I wouldn't be surprised if a couple emerge in the next couple of weeks. But as I said, there'll be a zero tolerance or sympathy policy in regards to it, because the plain rule is the AFL have to follow the state government guidelines. The AFL will release its own policy this week or next week regarding vaccination. I don't think that will require mandatory vaccination, but in effect, the state government's done their work for them because it's mandatory.
Right. Another medical issue on the agenda around the AFL, concussion, Tommy, and there's a potential landmark study.
Just some whispers across my desk in recent days, Rudy, that the AFL is open to doing a forward-looking study regarding concussion that could involve a club, where they would scan everyone at the club, or a great proportion of players in AFL men's and women at the club, at the start of the year, throughout the year, post-concussions, and at the end of the year, and then can get a whole bunch of data. So they might work with an individual club and look at a forward-looking study next year on concussion. Just keep an eye on that. I'm working on that story at the moment.
Now, going back to the grand final, Tommy, some Melbourne fans are alleged to have improperly entered Western Australia and gone to the grand final. What's the latest there?
I find this a very interesting story, Rudy, which I do acknowledge is before the courts in Western Australia, and the facts will be up to the courts to determine. But I was obviously in the rooms at the grand final, and I was at this post-match VIP AFL after party. And those two men concerned, Mark Babbage and the gentleman from Maurice Jones, Hayden Burbank, they were both there. And I was surprised to see them. I must admit, in the rooms, I think they explained to me at the time they'd come through Darwin and spent the mandatory time there and gone a long time in advance before Melbourne got into the grand final. It was a very prospective trip. But I did notice them in the rooms and at the after party. It was actually interesting at the after party. I spoke to Mark Babbage, who is one of the gentlemen allegedly who have breached these border restrictions, Rudy. And it's funny that Babbage was at the after party and so was the deputy commissioner of police, who was also a guest of that party. So in effect, they're under the state's noses at the grand final and post the grand final. That'll all be sorted out by the courts. But I did see them. I did notice Mick Warner's Herald Sun article this morning. I did notice Babbage was at the AFL after party. So they had an expensive trip in the end, Rudy. I think it's cost them some time already in jail because they're in solitary confinement, I'm told, at the moment due to the COVID concerns.
Yes, plenty to play out there for those chaps. Now, before we let you go, Tommy, is there any other trade stuff to mop up?
The other ones that have sort of been discussed this morning in terms of names, Lewis Young, the Bulldog, who played quite an effective role in a number of games this year, has requested a trade to Carlton. So Carlton doing plenty of stuff at the moment. Jonathan Segler has been told at Hawthorn that he's not a required player for next year, so he's been asked to find another home, or it's a difficult situation. Mitch Wallace, an intriguing one, because we have this romantic sort of view of Wallace's football, don't we? And it was very good football up until this year when he was only selected for two games. He's been offered a year, reportedly, by the Bulldogs. It's up to him whether he takes that or gets better opportunity elsewhere. The other trade one that's sort of doing the rounds this morning is that West Coast potentially interested in Sam Powell-Pepper, who is seeking more midfield time. So there are trade names around, Rudy. They're not necessarily star names. The big question for mine is whether a big name will emerge during the trade period. It's possible from a club that might have restricted space, like, for example, the Giants. But we'll find all that out between now and next Thursday, and we'll hopefully break it here on Triple M.
Indeed. I think we can leave that there for the day, Tommy, and we'll have you back in again on Wednesday to go through more news.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.